Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. I love today, and I hope you do too, for so many reasons. Of course, today I love the celebration. I love the reality of the victory of the resurrection. I love the reality of life conquering death. I love this day as the pinnacle of our faith as Jesus followers. And also, rather selfishly, I love it because today is one of the few days I don't have to worry about figuring out what to preach. Today is pretty clear what we're going to focus our time on. However, there is one unique struggle when it comes to preaching on Easter on this Resurrection Sunday, and that is this. How do you preach on the same event year after year after year, over and over and over and over? How do you put a new twist on something that we've heard before so that it doesn't sound boring or irrelevant? Well, I will confess to you, I used to worry a little bit more about that in my earlier life than I do now, as I get a little bit older. Because as I have been reminded recently, I just celebrated a birthday not too long ago, I am getting older, whether I want to admit that or not. At the end of this year, we will have no more teenagers in the house. All of our kids will be in college this upcoming summer. My wife, Jen, and I will celebrate 25 years of marriage. I'm starting to get some gray hair. And then most recently, darn it, I've had to start using these when I'm reading things up close. I need readers. So yes, I'm getting older. But one of the gifts of getting older is that it also comes with bits of wisdom that start to seep in ways that we did not have before. And what I have found now and am learning to embrace is, and that I don't have to worry about nearly so much anymore, is this wisdom to understand I don't have to put a new spin on the reality of the resurrection. Why? Because the reality of the resurrection is perpetually new. It's perpetually relevant. It is perpetually powerful. I love the way one of my teachers had phrased it. He said, "What's new?" New is a people who are willing to keep on telling a story that can never be extinguished by being told again and again and again, because it's a story that is always out of season, odd, abnormal. In other words, there is no way to normalize the most decisive event in the history of everything, this resurrection. We can never fully get our minds around the reality of the resurrection, or our hearts all the way around the reality of the resurrection. In this world, we live by a story that is counter to the story told in the Bible. Therefore, we as the church never tire of patiently reiterating this story. And the reality of the resurrection in the face of a world that often does not get or understand the resurrection. Sometimes the ones who get the reality of the resurrection the most are actually our kids. And I love that today on this Resurrection Sunday, our kids in their worship bags are going to be receiving different books that tell the resurrection story in simple and faithful ways, in ways that never get old. The truth is, deep in our hearts, when we come to church on Christmas or on Easter, we do not want a sermon that's too novel, too cute, too innovative, or that breaks into too much new ground. Why? Because we all know that deep down in, we need to hear the story again and again and again to be reminded of its life-changing reality. And so today we proclaim Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We know that all the best stories are worth repeating. Why do we watch our favorite movies over and over again? Because we love the plot. We love the story and the message and the characters. It never gets old to us. Why at family or friend gatherings do the same stories tend to rise up to the top and be told over and over again? Because those stories remind us of who we are. One of the stories that our family laughs about over and over, we have now many times over the years, is that when our kids were smaller, Alex is about 9, the boys were 7, we had a chance to go on a vacation. And we went to the beach. And there we were on the beach, and it was the late afternoon, and we were all getting tired, and we were all getting hot, and we were all getting hungry. We had had enough. But Zach, in particular, was just done. And all of us were reminded that when Zach got hungry, oftentimes he turned into a different kid. He was oftentimes very pleasant, but when he was hungry, he epitomized the term hangry. So on this day, Zach was complaining about how hot he was, how tired he was, how hungry he was, to which his kind, older, oh-so-compassionate sister pointed out to him, "Zach, we're all uncomfortable. Deal with it." Well, in that moment, Zach got a look in his eye like we had never seen before. His face contorted. I think he swelled to about 3 times his normal size in rage, and he shouted to all of us, "Alex, shut your mouth." And then he just completely melted down and returned to his normal state and size. And we all looked at each other like, what just happened? Where did that kid come from? Now, in the moment, I cannot say that was the most pleasant of experiences, but since that time, and with more and more time, we look back on that episode and we laugh and laugh and laugh. We all tell it from our vantage point and what it was like, and Zach has been awesome to have the ability to just look back on that instance and laugh at himself. I can't tell you how many times we've told that story. It never gets old. And interestingly to me, on this Resurrection Sunday, that too was a story that at first looked like bad news, meltdowns and crankiness, that moved into good news, a funny story that we now all love to tell. It's part of the Lake family story. Today we celebrate the resurrection again and again and again, so that we might live into the fullness of its power and reality. It's the foundation of our story and our reality as Jesus followers. And what a reality it is. Any story that shares how legions of Roman soldiers were defeated by a crucified Jew will always and forever be perennially new. Any story that portrays life over death and loving sacrifice for the world is perennially new. I think people in the church generally get this. Usually it's us pastors who have to discipline ourselves to not let our pastoral boredom lead us into the temptation to attempt to add something new or innovative to the perfect reality of the resurrection. A while back, there was an older professor who was trying to help a newer, younger professor coming on staff by observing introductory courses are death to professors. Going over the same material semester after semester, it'll kill you. To stay alive while teaching survey courses, you must attempt to listen to the same material as if you were hearing it for the first time. And while the younger professor appreciated the effort of the older professor and the advice he was trying to give, what the younger professor came to understand over time was that the goal should not be to listen to the same material as if hearing it for the first time, but rather the challenge was to keep loving the same material over and over and over so that one is continually refreshed by the material. It's the repetition that reveals the true depth of the material being revisited. And so today we come and we celebrate the resurrection. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Part of the reason that the resurrection never gets old is because it does not remain relegated to the past. This is not some ancient history lesson that we come to examine through academic lenses. It's not just a story that was, it's a story that is here and now. The resurrection of Jesus did not just happen in the past, it also happens today. The Jesus who showed up after death to Mary and to Peter and the 12 apostles and then the 500 and then to the apostle Paul is the same Jesus who shows up here and now to us. Too often in the life of the church, we make it about simply the raising of Jesus as if creating a way to heaven someday in the future. And to be clear, Jesus rising from the dead does provide a way for us to get to heaven someday. It absolutely does. But the gospel, and especially Paul, tend to put very little focus on future hope found in Jesus. That does not appear to be the first order of priority. Rather, the focus is not just on hope for the future. The gospel writers, they don't seem that concerned about it. What they're concerned about is that with the conquering of death and the receiving of eternal life, it begins and happens now, not just someday. The focus of hope is for the present, here and now. The resurrection of Jesus means we can have hope here today as we place our hope, our trust in Christ alone as Lord and Savior, so that we can have hope here and now, no matter how challenging our circumstances, no matter how difficult a situation we might be walking through, that eternal life begins here and now. In other words, Jesus gives us hope, not just for the future, not just for heaven someday, but for life here, now, in the present. And Jesus does that because Jesus actually shows up. Jesus actually becomes fully present with us. It's interesting to me, today of all days, Jesus is not overly spiritual. In fact, if we were to read some of the other gospel accounts of the resurrection of Christ, we would see how physically present Jesus is. He's so present that when he talks with Mary in the garden, she sees him and she talks with him. She even wants to reach out and touch him. But she's not allowed at that point. You can only touch that which is real, which is physical. Later on, Jesus shows up for evening meals. He moves beyond locked doors. Eventually, when he gathers, he lets one of the disciples touch one of his scars. He even eats breakfast with his disciples. These are all very physical things. Why? Because he's fully present, fully real, physical. Death has been defeated. Life reigns. Jesus is here now, and he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. How does that ever get old? I know I need to hear that good news over and over and over again in this crazy world and time in which we live. And so we hear Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If we were examining the resurrection purely from a historical or academic perspective, we would no doubt focus on the factual reality of the empty tomb as proof of the resurrection. However, today I would like to submit to us, it's not just the absence of the body in the tomb of Christ that proves he's alive today. It's the fact that Jesus shows up actively to his followers in the past and today. Let's not miss how significant this reality is. Yes, it is good news. It is great news that Jesus rose from the dead. But the really, really good news is that in doing so, he came back to the very ones who had betrayed and crucified him, the very same ones who had disappointed him, the very same ones who had misunderstood him, forsook him, fled from him, denied him, and betrayed him. So if Jesus was willing to do that with his followers then, those who had betrayed him, it means he'll also do the same for us here and now. We who also are broken, we who also have not faithfully followed Jesus Christ, Jesus returns to us lying, cheating, self-interested, gossipy, greedy, adulterous, addicted, mean, evil people. That's incredible that Jesus would do that. What wonderful news that he comes back to us alive, having conquered death. That means even if we've not really been seeking Jesus, he's seeking us. So much so, he went to the cross, to hell, to death, and back again for us. And he shows up to us today because he loves us so very much. Again, how does that ever get old? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried And he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the story, this is the reality that by the sheer grace of God continues. This is what the risen Savior does. He comes back again and again and again and again to the very ones who betrayed him. This God does not let a little thing like death get in the way of coming back to us. He comes back again and he finds us and he grabs us and he embraces us and he awakens us and then he commissions us to go and do his work in the world so that in this way, Jesus makes each of us as agents of the resurrection event and it never gets old. In different leadership trainings, one of the illustrations that I found to be particularly meaningful and helpful and that I've come back to again and again is to take a vision that an organization has and come back to it repeatedly. So in our case, at First Church, we talk about transformation in Christ. That is our vision. Everything that we do, we hope leads to, fosters transformation in Christ. But it's easy to think that once a vision has been articulated, we don't need to do it again. It's easy to think, well, hey, everybody knows it now because you've shared it. And it might even feel like it's boring or tedious to lift it up repeatedly. But the reality is, as author David Rhodes points out, every time we come back to a vision and repeat it, we gain greater clarity and greater insight and greater ownership every time we come back and repeat it compared to what we had before. So he says, picture looking at a mountain, and first of all, picture looking from the top down, and picture somebody walking up the mountain. If you are looking from the top down and somebody's going up the mountain, it just looks like the person is going in circles. Because if it's a steep mountain, you can't just go straight up. You have to go around to work your way up. But if you step off to the side and look and watch somebody going up the mountain, what you actually see is that the person's not going in circles. With every cycle, they're elevating up farther and farther and farther. Every repetition of the circle is actually bringing greater clarity and insight and bringing them closer to the summit. So that the repetition is not boring. It's not a monotonous activity of going nowhere. It's actually bringing them greater and greater and greater clarity as they move to the peak. So it is with Christ. When we repeatedly encounter the reality of the resurrection, we gain greater clarity and appreciation for the Jesus life. We get closer to the summit of life with Jesus. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. There was a man who was visited by his preacher as he lay dying on his deathbed with only a few days left to live. He was asked at the end, what was he feeling? Was he fearful? Fear? No, he responded. I'm not fearful because of my faith in Jesus. The pastor responded somewhat piously, well, we all have hope for our future in God's hands. I'm not hopeful because of what I believe about the future, the man corrected the preacher. I'm hopeful because of what I've experienced over and over in the past. The preacher asked him to say more. So the man continued. I look back over my life, all the mistakes that I've made, all the times I've turned away from Jesus, gone my own way, strayed and gotten lost. And time and again, Jesus found a way to get to me. Jesus showed up and got me. Jesus looked for me even when I was not looking for him the way that I should. So I don't think he will let something like my dying defeat his love for me. There was a man who understood resurrection. There was a man for whom over and over repeatedly, the power of the resurrection became more and more real every time he encountered it. The story of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ therefore never gets old. And so this year, as we celebrate that reality, as we celebrate the resurrection, as we come back to it again, may his power and his love become more and more clear and compelling to us. May it become more real than it has ever been before. Today, let us do whatever we need to do to hear again the good news that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again out of his love for us. Today, May we hear that reality and may it sink deep into our hearts and our souls, that we might know and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Rejoice and hear the good news, because it's worth repeating. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Thanks be to God. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Next week, when we gather again for worship, we want to invite you to come back with us as we focus specifically on a sermon series on worship of the resurrected one, the one that we celebrate this day. We hope that you can join us in that time as we celebrate in worship and focus on what does it mean to worship the risen one.